Delighted to be your host again today. We have got a treat in store for us. I'm telling you, there's so many things that we're discovering that help our health and well-being. That's our commitment to bring you value week in and week out. And we're just really blessed and fortunate. We've heard over the years, so many things. Many of you have heard of Bruce Lee and what he did to bring martial arts secrets that were not allowed out of the Orient to come to us. And there's different things. Acupuncture is becoming more popular. That's been a tradition in China for thousands of years. Well, we didn't know about this, but there's a sadhana therapy. It's a special form of body work, and that wasn't available in the United States for, wow, we'll find out more because we've got a wonderful guest to share things with. We've got a delightful guest, Kim Wiest, who is the owner of Sadhana Therapy, and this was originally taught to her because she had spent some years with some Shaolin monks. I mean, there's some things that she's going to be sharing with us about this technique, and it is some amazing body work that actually, I mean, massage feels good. You know, raise your hands if you like massage, right? Woohoo! Okay, we all do. Well, this goes so far beyond that, and we'll be getting an opportunity to visit more with Kim and get some more detail about this. And she's been practicing this for 12 years, and I've had the privilege of having her come and do a couple of sessions with me. And oh my gosh, It is some profound work. So we'll just invite Kim on board, and all you good folks out there, get ready for fun and adventure as we learn about Sadhana Therapy from Kim Wiest. Kim, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. And you?
I'm doing great.
All right. Well, we've opened a door, and I want to make sure am I actually pronouncing this correctly, the name of the therapy.
Oh, you are. It's Sadhana Therapy.
Sadhana Therapy. Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go. And would you go into a little bit more detail about what is Sadhana Therapy?
I'd be happy to. I trained with my instructor from the ages of 12 to 24. He worked with me with Qigong exercises. In China, they believe that when you work with people physically, that you can pick up what they call sick energy. And in doing that, before I was allowed to even touch someone, I had to spend years studying Qigong and how to move energy through the body. And I also was able to study dance and movement understanding, anatomy, as well as then at 16, I was able to start working on walking on people's backs like they do in China. And then it led into learning Sadhana Therapy.
And you did this in the Orient?
No, all my training was in California. I met him out there.
Ah, okay.
And he had moved out of... He was originally from America, and he moved to China when he was 16 years old.
Oh, and then got this opportunity, and he's the... And your instructor had studied this for many years?
Mm-hmm. He had lived in China for many years at the Shaolin Monastery in the southern part of China. And he not only studied Kung Fu and Tai Chi, Qigong, but he also got to learn this. Now, there's the healing side of Qigong as well as there's the martial arts side of Qigong. There's a healing side of Bagua as well as there's also Bagua used in martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he trained me. He knew both, obviously, the martial arts side and the healing side. But I was more focused on learning the healing side.
Ah, mm-hmm. Okay. And then you say we're saying 12 years of study in this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
wow.
I had known him for 12 years, so I had taken dance with his wife and studied anatomy and movement for years. And at the same time, I was learning Qigong and techniques from him. So.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So this is, and can you go into a little bit of, we know it comes from China, and
mm-hmm.
I guess if you could go into a little bit more of the, you know, the detail, because you said that you just learned dance and
mm-hmm.
these other things, and that you had to gain a certain ability to,
mm-hmm.
to work with your energies.
Uh-huh.
So that you could be around people that were in pain and not
mm-hmm.
pick up on that? Is that what you were saying?
That's exactly it. He also worked with us a lot on philosophy and psychology. That way we could understand more when people go through experiences in their life, how it affects their mind, and then how their mind affects their body.
Ah, could you perhaps share a couple of examples of some of that, I don't know, just things that you learned or people that you worked with?
Well, a lot of times I'll work on somebody and we'll notice that their whole left side's tight, when normally in my notes, they're not usually that tight on their left side. So usually I would ask them at that point, are you having any issues with your mother or a female or a friend? Because the left side represents the female side of our body. And so a lot of times people will just start laughing. How do you know that? You know,
mm-hmm.
because it's just, we carry emotion in different parts of our body. And to give you another example of that, everyone knows that shoulders represent carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. So when people are dealing with a lot of things and stressed out, a lot of times they feel a lot of tension and tightness on their shoulders. So that's
wow.
another example of that.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Well, and this is also an area of study in yoga. Like, he wanted me, I became a teacher in yoga and trained with them for yoga as well to understand how emotions can impact our body. And it's amazing how when you go through an experience, something stressful in your life, and then you stretch and you realize, wow, I'm so tight in that area. And that's the area that represents the emotion you might be dealing with in that time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, if someone's got tight hips. They're not able to, let's say, bend forward. I don't know if that would be hips or what.
Well, hips
the
usually
idea
represent...
Reach down and touch your toes, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually not. That's your hamstrings. Hamstrings represent moving forward in our life. So that would be different. Hips.
Ah, okay.
Hips represent foundation, support of life. So, like, being supported by your family. If you don't feel supported, a lot of times people have pains in their hips or problems in their hips.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then hamstrings, like you were talking about bending forward, that's a hamstring. Hamstrings are about, they represent moving forward in your life, following your direction.
Mm, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so if that's tight, person's not able to, like, bend forward and, let's say, the old thing of touch your toes or,
mm-hmm.
or in yoga, put your palms on the floor or
mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff. So then you could look at, is someone a little stuck in some areas of their life?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Ah. Now, I'd be curious, of course, to get a little bit more understanding of some of the differences, if we maybe compare and contrast the sadhana with massage. There's different kinds. Like you mentioned, you learn to walk on backs, and there's
mm-hmm.
there's shiatsu with pressure points, different things, and then there's Swedish deep tissue massage.
Mm-hmm.
So that I want people to be able to get a little bit more of an understanding
for what it is.
Of what differentiates this technique from some of the other types of body work.
Okay. Basically, medically, it's defined as we hit a point in the joint capsule, which releases pressure on your tendon, which releases that muscle line that tendon is attached to.
Now, for some people, they may not understand a joint capsule.
Yeah.
I know this is all second nature to you. I want to kind of simple it down a little for someone that doesn't have a lot of background
mm-hmm.
but could relate, okay, how do I find a joint capsule? How many capsules do I take a day? No, that's something different.
Your joint capsule is obviously between the two bones.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's the space between your bones in your body that's the joint. And the joint capsule points right in there.
Ah, okay, so that would apply whether it was like on fingers or elbow or shoulder or
exactly
knee, any of those places.
All the little bones in your hands, all the bones in your feet. Yeah. Everywhere a bone meets another bone, there's going to be a joint capsule.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then this isn't typically something that's considered as important in some of these other forms of body work? Or?
It's just different. It's a different application. To give you an example, a chiropractor focuses on the structure, the bone structure of the body, right?
Yeah.
So they work, they make adjustments to release the bone structure. But they're not, the difference with massage is massage therapists work primarily with the muscles and how to have them massage the muscles till they release. This is actually going right in between what they do. The difference that this does is a lot of times with massage and chiropractic, people will find themselves sore for a long time, and then they have to go right back. Now, with this work, in the beginning, you're sore for like a day. Some people aren't sore at all, so it's different on how it affects you. A lot of the people who have more serious issues that they're dealing with, it gives them a lot of relief. And it actually allows the swelling and different things to go down. So someone with a lot of, let's say, trauma in their body or swelling, this is great for because when they're that tender, it hurts to massage them, right? And,
yeah.
And a chiropractor can't just go in and rotate them and release their structure. So you have to go in real gentle. And by hitting these points in the body, it releases that pressure off the muscle line. And so they're sore, but they're not as sore as they would if you rubbed them all out. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay.
So that's one of the distinctions. And when you're working with these joint capsules areas, it sounds like it's not high pressure or heavy pressure, but can you describe that a little?
Yeah, it's a very non-invasive technique because you're going in, let's say the bone's just a little bit off-center, and you're going in and you're just gently nudging that bone back into position by hitting that point in the joint capsule. It takes the pressure off that muscle line that's connected to the bone, and the muscle line relaxes and the bone just moves back into place gently.
Ah.
You see?
Okay.
To give you another example.
Yeah, please.
I've been working with a massage therapist and teaching her these techniques. She kind of, after learning them, she was laughing about how she can release the whole muscle structure without spending all this time massaging it.
Yeah.
So.
Ah, boy, talk about something wonderful for helping people to relax.
Mm-hmm. It helps you relax, so it's pain-free. I mean, just like in massage, you're going to hit those tender areas, but it's a different way of working out knots. We'll hit those pressure points, and the knots will just release, whereas a massage therapist will sit there and rub the knot out for 10-15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
See the difference?
Yeah.
So usually I can get past a knot in the body within a couple minutes.
Ah, okay, because you find the joint capsule that's
exactly
that area?
I work on the line in that joint capsule, I release that line, release the tendon that's attached to that muscle line, and the muscle line releases and the knot goes away.
And when you mention a muscle line, I'm not sure exactly what that might be.
All the different muscles we have in the body, obviously we have a lot of them in our body. So
yeah.
It's just, since there's so many, it's just easier to say. It doesn't matter which muscle line I work with. When we hit the point, naturally just allows that muscle line to release.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I wasn't sure the muscle line, just like the length of a muscle.
The length of a muscle, exactly.
Is that, mm-hmm. So that's what's referred to as a muscle line.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. Well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of curious. Obviously, you're mentioning by putting this light pressure on these joint capsules, you're able to get some release of muscle tension as well as some realignment structurally of the bones.
Mm-hmm. In a very gentle way. I work with clients all the way from people who have basic issues to people that have extreme issues where, you know, they were going to be body casted by the doctors by fusing the whole spine and putting them in a body cast.
Uh-huh.
And we've been able to use this technique to give those people their life back without surgery.
Yes, I'd be curious if you could kind of describe some of those instances. Because you have a number of them, don't you?
Uh-huh, I do.
Because that would be helpful. I mean, we want to kind of hear some of these case studies if you're able to share.
Oh, I'd love to. Mm-hmm. One of the case studies I worked with, she was sent to me by Denver Options. Denver Options is a wonderful thing that we have in the state of Colorado where they donate, you don't realize it, but when you get a speeding ticket, 5% of your ticket goes to brain injury. A brain injury trust fund in the state of Colorado. And Denver Options handles our TBI fund, is what we call it, in the state of Colorado. And they give $2,000 to each person on their list so that they can get help with their therapy. It's a brain injury thing. Unfortunately, 80% of brain injuries are not diagnosed in hospital, so they can't qualify for their insurance to cover for their needs. A lot of times they lose their work. So it's a very important list because we can help a lot of people, too, that aren't getting help. And basically, this one case that was sent to me from Denver Options was a case where her sternum was sunk in her chest 2 inches. Her spine had bulges and herniations all the way down with stenosis. She had 50% range of motion in her arms. Her neck was lodged to the right side, and her eyes had shifted because she was in that position for 3 years. And she opted out of surgery because of the consequences that would have on her life for the rest of her life, and she wasn't ready to give up. And I had met her through Denver Options, and within a year and a half, we gave her 85% range of motion in her neck. So she went from 15% to 85%. We released all the herniations and bulges up and down the spine, a lot of the pressure. She still has a damaged disc in her spine, and that was damaged from being in that position for as long as she has. So we're working on techniques now to keep lengthening those muscles, to keep the pressure off those areas, so that that disc can continue to heal.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled her sternum back up into position, so it went from 2 inches to being in place.
And when you say, like, pulled it back in to position...
It was very gentle. It's working the structure all the way around through the ribs, through the spine, through stretches to gently get that bone to move back into place.
And was this one session or a number of sessions?
Oh, it was obviously a number of sessions. These bigger cases take a lot longer, depending on how long they've been in the position. Now, she was a more extreme case because she had been in that position for 3 years. So the muscles were have tightened up, locked her into that position. If we get to someone sooner who are in that position, we can give them relief within 6 months. But hers took longer because of the amount of muscle that had tightened up. The also problems that we faced with her case is that she had brain injury, she had neurological damage, cognitive damage, and nerve damage on top of it.
Oh, boy.
So it was working with all that as well. And what happens with brain injury is that when they have stress in their environment, they tend to tighten up. Their brain reacts 20 times more than our brains do. And so they can become really stressed. And when we come stressed, our muscle lines get tight. We can feel how tight we get and tense we get. Well, that's 10 times more with a brain injury. So those are other issues that we had to face throughout this process, is working with the brain injury, with her injuries.
Mm.
And there was continuing stress with her because for her, when I started working with her, she was still in a case with the insurance trying to fight to get help. And the doctor, even her doctor, had stated she would require $565,000 just within 5 years of treatment, just for treatment. And the insurance company only settled with her for $24,000. So that can be very stressful, obviously, because you feel like you're not getting the help that you should get for your therapies that you need to get yourself back on track in the world and in your life. And that's a tough one, and that goes into, again, the problem that we have where 80% of brain injuries are not diagnosed in hospitals. And a lot of the problem is what's called MTBI, which is mild traumatic brain injury.
Oh, okay.
That's what MTBI means. And those mild, because it's difficult for the hospital to diagnose it, because they really haven't set standards for diagnosing. With an MTBI, you can't just take an MRI or a CAT scan and find the problems in the brain. So it's a tough one. There's no set standards, and the educators worldwide are trying to work to create standards so that there is a standard for diagnosing. The closest thing that they have right now is called a NANO, and a NANO is a neurological exam that you can give yourself. It's in your Palm Pilot or in your phone. And if you get in a car accident, you can give yourself that exam, and then you'll know if you have a brain injury or not. That's the closest thing we can come to right now. A lot of people don't realize that when they're in a car accident, even if they haven't hit their head, they can sustain a brain injury. And the concussion symptoms mimic shock. So a lot of times people will get in an accident, and they think they're not that bad, and then a couple days later, they're in the hospital, panicking.
My goodness.
So that's just some of the struggles we deal with in the area of brain injury. So,
yeah.
But that's one of my case studies. But structurally, it can tell you a lot of what Sedona therapy does do. Because our goal, like with her spine was so out of alignment that it put a lot of pressure on her nerves, so she had nerve damage. So we have to, nerves heal every 6 weeks, so they do heal and grow back. But if there's continuing pressure on them, they cause chronic pain. And that makes the person tightened. As you could imagine, if you're in pain, you're tightening against it. So, you know, we have to deal with a lot of different things when we take a case on of that magnitude.
Ah, wow. And you do this, I guess, on a basis. Do you actually make house calls?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, I don't have time to make house calls. I'm too busy with all the clientele that I do have, that a lot of times they'll come to me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or now, is any of this able to be done in healthcare facilities?
Well, our goal is we're working on a research project, and our goal is that we can get some of this work admitted through research into the medical world so that physical therapists can learn these techniques.
Ah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, and I've even worked with physical therapists in different states, and they, you know, one of the statements from one of the ladies was that I feel like I'm paying all this money for a master's degree in this, but I feel like all I'm paying for is a tool belt with no tools.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get that comment, and that's just from physical therapists who have witnessed my work and see, wow, you can do all that with it. I'll take people who just have, like, maybe they have a knee problem all the time. Well, it turns out after working through their whole body, their knee problem was coming from their pelvis issue and the pressure on their femur, which was rotating the femur head into the knee, causing the knee to swell, for an example.
Ah.
So it's not actually a knee problem. It came from her pelvis and spine.
Okay. So typically, if there's a symptom, lot of times people will work just on that area where there's the pain or the symptom.
Exactly, and that's another issue that you face in different areas, is they'll just focus on the area when actually the problems are coming from somewhere else. And that's why it's important, like in Sedona therapy, we work through the whole body every time.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, is there like a bit of a, what you, I don't know if you'd call it like a little tune-up or just a standard protocol, or
yeah.
Does it vary from person to person?
Yeah, I mean, it does obviously vary based on their case, but for the general population with general issues, we always recommend one session weekly for a month, and then you can go to every other week and then come in for maintenance when you need it.
Okay.
We give people stretches to practice at home so that they can work on maybe the areas that bother them. They can do these stretches, and our goal is to balance their activities with their bodies so that they can do what they do every day without pain.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Or without causing other issues to occur in their body.
Ah. Now, is this something, I guess, I don't know how many people, because we've got 300 million folks, that a lot of which have some pain, and I don't know how many of them are going to be able to make it. You're in the Colorado Springs area, aren't you?
I'm in Colorado Springs, but I travel. I work in Las Vegas, Nevada as well.
Okay.
And then nationally next year, I'm working with AMTA, the director of AMTA's educational department, and they're a licensing group nationwide, and they want to promote me as an educator nationally next year.
And AMTA is what?
Is a licensing group for massage therapists.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'll be having an opportunity to reach a good number of massage therapists.
Exactly. I mean, my goal is to be able to pass this knowledge on that I've been given to people so that more people can learn this technique and help more people.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. And now, would someone need a background to learn this technique, like a massage, because they study anatomy and a lot of different structural things?
Yeah, we do require a background. We prefer that someone has the anatomy training in something. For example, if they're a nurse or a doctor or a chiropractor or an acupuncturist or a massage therapist, we prefer to train people who have their license and already have anatomy knowledge and practice, because it is a difficult thing to learn.
Oh, okay.
As you can tell how technical it is when I worked with you.
Uh-huh.
There is a lot to it, but, you know, it's just it, knowing the body is an important thing to take the class.
Okay. So that's why you're initially starting to work with some people that are massage therapists.
Mm-hmm. Now, eventually, we are working towards offering classes like at a reflexology school up in Denver, for example, so people can come in and train, even if they're not a massage therapist. But one of the new laws that have been changed in Colorado is that you are required to have at least a license in massage to do any type of body work.
Oh, and that's anywhere in Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So because of that, that's another reason why we prefer to have them have their license already, and then have it be something that they can develop themselves with. But it is a complex thing to learn, so it's good that they already have that basis down.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. And then this would be something that could expand the scope of what massage therapists could do.
Mm-hmm. And for what they can offer, exactly.
Ah, wow. So that sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even with this technique, we get as technical as we know how to release tendons in the eye area. So to give you an example on why would you need that, sometimes people don't realize that when you've been in an accident, it actually can cause the tendons in your eye to tighten. For some extreme cases, it can cause a trochial nerve disorder where they have a tendon that wraps around the trochial nerve, and what happens when that happens is that the eyes can't move evenly together. So a lot of times people with that condition can't see past midline. They can't look down, or they can't look up, or they can have reading issues where when they're trying to read something, the words look like they're moving.
Ooh.
Okay. So that
normally I have to take drugs to do that. But
it's obviously an extreme thing, but for those people who have that eye disorder, all they would like is to see normally again, and not have that issue. The neurologists have trouble with that because how do you have them do eye exercises when the eye
won't
is locked
move.
Up?
Ah.
And then it's a double whammy if they have a brain injury because now the eye's locked up and then it's causing trouble on the brain because it's hard for them to read or see things. So that causes, a lot of times they'll have a headache behind the eye and it causes pain and it can even make the brain injury worse because of that. So we have a technique that we're right now doing case studies on, and so far within 2 sessions it's successful. It releases the eye pressure.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now would this be something separate that could be taught to people that are eye doctors or?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, I would love to pass this knowledge on to even people who are eye doctors because then they can get it early on. That first time that patient walks into their office, they have something that they can help them with besides just eye exercises or medication.
Ah, okay. I know I studied with a woman in California, and part of her training for vision therapy, she referenced a couple of acupressure points on the hand and then some acupressure points around the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And made mention that in other parts of the world, I think it was like China, that there weren't near as many people with glasses.
Exactly. Even like the technique I used on you, there's ways of balancing the eyes without using glasses, just naturally.
Yeah.
I also work with people who have pressure on their ears. A lot of times people will be in injury, and because the cranial bones shift a little bit, they put pressure on the ears in a different way, and sometimes they'll say, I can hear my heartbeat, but I can only hear it on this side. Or my ears seem really sensitive, or they'll feel really tender to touch, and I don't know what's wrong. And then we move the cranial bones and take the pressure off that area, and next thing you know, they're fine. They're not hearing that. They're not feeling that anymore. They feel normal.
Ah, geez. And now, I'm guessing that there's some combination. Part of the things that you deal with, a person would need some professional training, like as a massage therapist, to get some of these techniques. And if I'm hearing correctly, are there some things that could be offered through a book or something for the general public to have a little bit of basic knowledge?
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as basic knowledge for the general public, we prefer that all these techniques are obviously taught. I don't want to are taught under with full instruction, but just basic knowledge that we would love to share with the general public is what happens to you when you have a car accident. What happens to the brain when you have a car accident? And then ways of dealing with your accident that can make sure that your body is documented, you can get the help that you need from being in an accident. And just understanding that the full ramification of being in an accident, what that can do to your brain or to your head, and how sometimes people can have the slightest accident, but they'll say it's changed our life forever.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned, of course, the idea of car accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm wondering is, I don't know, because there's varying levels of car accident traumas,
mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking of people that may take up rollerblading or skiing and be out there learning and falling down a number of times.
Mm-hmm. Well, those kind of accidents are also, you have to be careful of what happens to the brain. People don't, you get up, you think, oh, I'm okay, I didn't hurt anything. But then years later, you're finding you're having problems here, you're having headaches here, you can't get the headaches to go away, you'll go to a chiropractor, but they can't release it. I get a lot of times people who have headaches that come from the cranial bones putting pressure on the brain.
Ah.
So there's a lot of times I can alleviate a headache that no one else was able to alleviate just because I just took the pressure off the brain.
Wow. Okay.
And that again goes to how important it is to go through the entire body when you're working with someone. Because you may think, well, they have a pain, it's kind of on the top of their neck, you know, maybe they just need a chiropractor to adjust their neck. And then it doesn't go away.
Yeah, so, okay. Because I've been to, in some instances, repeated chiropractic visits for years on end.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't really realize, because the doctor would say, well, we get an adjustment, but a week later, geez, it didn't hold. And back and again and again and again and again for the same thing.
Well, and again, we go into chiropractors to treat the skeletal structure. That's what their goal is. That's their primary training focus. And what we, and that's why we give people stretches to do, because if there's a tight muscle line, it's pulling the structure out of alignment. Then we also want to deal with those tight muscle lines, like, or like you said, you'll be going to the chiropractor all the time.
Mm. Okay, and so now would this be something, would it be an advantage for chiropractors to learn some of this?
Oh, yeah. I actually have a chiropractor out in Las Vegas, Nevada right now that would love to learn this technique to add it to what he does. So there's been definite interest from the chiropractic side to learn these techniques.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So so you've got some connections there with the Massage Therapy Association and opening doors to the chiropractic world.
Yeah, and my goal is just to pass on the knowledge that I've been giving so that people can benefit from it. So, you know, the more they can help people, I mean, that's the goal.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Wow. Well, listeners, we are here getting treated to Sadhana Therapy by Kim Wiest, who is in the Colorado Springs area and taking this nationally. And our program, Advanced Living Radio, is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com. And when you go visit AdvancedLiving.com, you'll see one of the favorite items, this comfort clock. It's a plug-in unit that just does a bit of magic. The discordant, stressful energies of an electric world get harmonized. And my goodness, whether it's sleeping better that people report, or more efficient and productive at their computers, or just ability to communicate better, think more clearly and focus. It's amazing. And I invite you to go visit AdvancedLiving.com and learn more about that. And, of course, there's a special offer for our BBS listeners that I invite you to check out on the BBS radio pages. And now let's get back to more adventures here with Kim and find out some additional things. Kim, you course noticed a lot about car accidents. I'm wondering, can you give some other examples of people that you worked with and some of the successes that you've had, some of the brain injuries, some of the other areas?
I sure can. I can even talk about a simple situation that happened just recently with one of my clients. She's in her 70s. She was out dancing. Somehow she fell, and somebody fell on top of her. And both sides of her pelvis were hurting, so she couldn't sleep on either side. She was going to physical therapy and doing the exercises the physical therapist gave her. I went over there. I worked on her all 35 minutes, and she's been pain-free since.
Oh, my goodness.
So those are simple things. I work with people who have crooked toes, crooked fingers. We do a technique to straighten them out and alleviate the pressure on the hand or the foot. A lot of times people who have crooked toes, they have trouble with their feet and walking, and a lot of times they get plantar issues because they're walking funny. So it puts pressure on the plantar, and their plantar becomes irritated. So we also work in that area.
Huh. And now, I mean, because I guess different people can have, I don't know if we call it deformed hands or what, or I don't know if that's different. If a deformity of a hand is similar to just a hand that's kind of locked out of position, or
it is, if they were born genetic issue with their hand, where it's causing alignment issues or pain, then we just same thing. We're working on creating space between the bones, lengthening the muscles, so that the hand's free in movement, depending on what their issue is, and not causing pain.
Okay, because I've seen a number of people as they age. Their hands, the joints will get swollen, or the fingers will be in kind of funny positions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so, this the kind of stuff that you find the sadhana therapy does some wonderful relief for, huh?
Yeah, and these are just basic issues that all of us deal with, you know, throughout our lives. And yeah, we, you know, just working with all different areas of things, from shoulder problems to frozen shoulder to people who have, you know, like I said, arm or hand issues or leg or foot issues. We work with people who have been in surgery for a fused back or like a fused vertebrae. If they fuse their spine together and they're starting to get sciatica issues, we work with people who have had hip replacements, you know, all those things.
Wow.
Like I said, our goal is to create space in the body, increase their movement, and decrease their pain.
Yes, yes, and this is being launched from your area. And I guess you're kind of like the right now the main source for this teaching in the country, or?
I am. I'm the only one in the United States trained in this. I have done developmental classes with people so that we could create textbooks to train people with. So there are a few people, but they haven't learned it fully. It takes obviously a long time to get through all the levels of sadhana therapy. We figured it in training it takes a total of 4 years. If you want to become, but we have it broken up in basics so they can learn the basics to sadhana and do a lot with it. And then we have basics advanced, and then we go into special needs. So our special needs training is basically learning with people who have been in a car accident and stuff like that. So, and then our special needs advanced is learning to work with brain injuries. So that's all the brain injury stuff, and the eye stuff that I do is the advanced portion.
Oh, boy. Now, people that could avail themselves to your services, do you have any kind of information you can share about some of the pricing structure?
Sure. We charge $70 an hour. For the first session, usually we go a full hour and a half because we have to go through stretches and everything. So we always tell people to expect to spend $90 for their first session. But after that, then it's $70 for each hour. We give discounts to people who take the yoga classes that we teach, so we take off $10 an hour for that, just so that they can, because it helps us, obviously, if they're out doing things for their body.
Yeah. Okay. Well, gee, that's, you got to love that. And, I mean, that's, to me, priced right in alignment with what a lot of massage therapists charge.
Yeah. We want it to be something that everyone can get.
Yeah. Now, what I was wondering, there's I don't know if you can, you know, we're mentioning her, but I've got to meet one of your associates, Linda. And I've had the opportunity to have work done with both of you at the same time.
We have a technique that we've done throughout the ages. It's a double practitioner technique, and that always helps. So she's learning the technique as well as assisting me.
Oh, okay. So there's certain areas where she's got enough knowledge that it supports the process, and in the same time she's there studying while you're doing your expert work.
Which is what I did with my teacher when I was learning as well.
Oh, okay. So that's a an important combination there of, you know, of an additional benefit that could be offered. And now I'm also curious, do you work with any athletes?
Yeah, actually, we work with, I've had an opportunity to work with athletes, and one of the people I trained in the basic techniques, she works with pros, and she's a massage therapist, and she talked about how she was able to take, like, their normal PT time when they have an injury is 6 weeks. She's been able to cut that down to 2 weeks for a pro.
Ah, and
by using these techniques.
And does she work with a variety of athletes in different sports?
You know, I know she was working with the U.S. hockey team.
Okay.
I've been able to work with runners.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was just saying hockey players, you know, usually get a bunch of injuries.
Yeah. So she works with them. I've been able to work with a variety of different people as well. So obviously, depending on the sport, you're going to have different areas of injury.
Yeah, plus I would think. It's kind of having me think of, I know a couple of chiropractors that do a lot of work with rodeo people,
mm-hmm.
cowboys and cowgirls that perform in rodeo, and that's pretty rough. And then just imagining, because you were talking about all the, that you work and do some wonders with brain injuries, and I've got to think that even though hockey players, football players are wearing helmets, that they get knocked around so much, that I would wonder, and I know this is a bit of conjecture, I don't know that you had a chance to study, but it just kind of intuitively I'm thinking, geez, I bet there's a fair amount of stuff that is happening to the brains when the people are playing these sports.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You got any, you know, intuitions? I don't know if you had a chance to study it, but I'm just thinking, even with a helmet on, if you get knocked around enough, that there could be, you know, tremendous benefit from your work.
Exactly. Yeah, because just as we talked about earlier, is when those cranial bones get shifted from pressure, then it puts pressure on blood flow in the brain, which can cause the brain injury. So it would definitely benefit people who, and I did have an opportunity to study this. One of the professors at Denver University studied the area of boxing and boxing's effect on the brain. And what they noted is that they can definitely find a boxer brain injury through looking into the spinal fluid and finding nerve fluid in the spinal fluid. So boxers especially, obviously, they're really putting themselves out there for a brain injury by being hit in the head as many times as they are. Doing this work, yes, would benefit them because they can create space between the bones. They can get rid of that scar tissue and swelling, increase blood flow to the brain right away. That will diminish the effect of the brain injury that the injury had on the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Okay. So that's another important area with the athletics, and
mm-hmm.
especially something intense like boxing, or my goodness, you mentioned early on, you know, that some of the people that you studied with, they were doing certain martial arts
mm-hmm.
involving both the healing aspect as well as a self-defense or martial art aspect of the Qigong or
mm-hmm.
or the what did you call it?
Or Bagua.
Bagua. There,
mm-hmm.
thank you. Okay. Huh. And so that I'm guessing would be another area where you could be of a lot of benefit.
Exactly. Actually, most of my training was with athletes. It was with dancers and athletes when I was learning.
Hmm.
And yeah, we could get people right back out doing what they were doing right away and using these techniques.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we gotta get the people. I was just thinking of not so much martial art, but the Colorado Ballet.
Mm-hmm. They would benefit greatly from this type of work.
Huh. Huh. Okay, we gotta have you, I don't know if you've submitted yourself yet for cloning, but obviously the need is far exceeding what you can personally take care of.
Well, exactly. I mean, I obviously can't work on everyone, and that's why my goal is in training, so that more people can learn this work and more people can benefit from it.
Yes, yes, obviously. Now, how is it that people can get in touch with you to learn more about this? And
they can look on my website, which is www.sadhanatherapy.com, and that's spelled S-A-D-H-A-N-A, and then therapy.com. Or they can contact me at 719-332-7188 for information.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. That's important. And we want our listeners to be able to get the word out there, because there could be some situations
mm-hmm.
Where I'm guessing you're now going between sometimes Denver and Colorado Springs
and Las Vegas. I'm in Denver, Colorado Springs, and Las Vegas, Nevada area at this time. And then, I mean, to give you an example of an injury that if we can release it right away, it gets rid of a lot of the pain right away, and then they don't seem to need regular therapy. To give you an example, we had a lady that dropped a TV on her head. Her husband was in the military, and he was not there. She was ambitious and thought she could put a 59-inch TV on the wall herself and dropped it right on her head. And what happened was her vertebrae, the top ones got like a big inch in between the vertebrae, whereas the bottom ones were very compressed. The doctors were nervous to touch her, so they sent her to PTs, and the PTs said, "I'm not touching her unless we have x-rays." So they sent him back. So she was going back and forth. So finally she came, and we did these techniques on her. She was completely pain-free at the end of the session, and we haven't had to see her since.
Oh, my God.
And we got to her within a week that happened.
Mm.
So that kind of shows you the difference. If you can release an injury right away,
yeah,
your chances of being right back on track are very high. Whereas if you are injured and you keep doing your normal things and the muscles keep building, it takes longer for the body to let that go. Because you're basically retraining your body to work differently.
Mm,
all the
okay.
way through the structure.
Huh. Wow.
And
so that's...
To give you an example of that, like I had a lady that was in a car accident. She had her foot on the brake. Someone hit her at 70 miles an hour. Well, one of the bones in her foot came out. It didn't break the skin, but it just moved out about an inch. Now, as she walked on it for that year, it came out farther and farther to it. It was 3 inches out. And so her structure, so she would have pain in both her hips and her left shoulder, and it was her right foot that had the problem. So what that means is, and then she'd even get pain up into her jaw. So as soon as that structure was shifted just a little bit, the whole body has to adapt all the way through the spine. And where that pressure falls can be in different areas.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like for her, as we're aligning these things and we give her stretches to stretch out all those muscle lines that have been compensating for this injury so that her body goes back to normal completely.
Oh, and the sooner the better is what I'm hearing.
The sooner the better, obviously, when you're injured. The sooner you can address it, the better. The easier it's going to just go away and you won't have continuing problems with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're saying for some of these chronic things where people have sort of limped around or allowed deformities to keep on for years and years and years,
mm-hmm.
You can still get tremendous relief.
Mm-hmm.
And it does take a series of treatments, but you're talking about reversing things that people would think I have to live that the rest of my life.
Exactly. I mean, I meet people that tell me that they were writing a letter to their family thinking about committing suicide because they were thinking, if I have to live this way for the rest of my life, I don't want to be here. And so I feel grateful that I get to work with people and give them their life back, their hope back, their desire to be here back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's just extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. It is extraordinary. I love working in all the areas that I get to.
Yeah. You're touching people's lives in so many different ways. And then let's see, the primary, is it the best? Is there a good email to reach you at as well?
Yeah, there's a good email. It's Kim Wiest. It's spelled KIMWUEST @gmail.com.
Okay.
Is the best way to reach me by email.
And then that phone number again was?
719-332-7188.
Okay, or they can go to your website.
It's sadhanatherapy.com.
Okay, that's the sadhanatherapy.com?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that's under construction, I think?
Yeah, it's currently under construction. We're doing some changes on it, so it should be up and ready by the end of this week.
Oh, good. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you'll have more available there. Well, that's... I think is just tremendous. And I'm wondering, with all your experience, you've had an opportunity to interact with this comfort clock technology a little bit, and I didn't know if you'd have an opportunity to share some of your experience with that.
I'd love to share that. My experience with a lot of my brain injury clients, they're very sensitive to a lot of things, and what I've noticed with my clients is that it somehow eliminates white noise for them. It allows their brain to relax, which is important for my sessions, because the more relaxed my clients are, the more the structure will shift for me. As opposed to if they're tensing and tightening those muscles, it's obviously harder for the body to release and relax.
Oh.
So that helps me in the area, especially with brain injury, because they're so sensitive to all these things around them in their environment. And by having that clock on, that helps them calm and relax.
Ah, which makes it easier for you to get better results with your work.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Well, that's just one more to the good. Kim, I am just delighted to have you as a guest and want to thank you for all the good work you're putting forward. And I can personally testify that it's tremendous. I've had two sessions and I'm feeling so much better and holding my body better than I have and noticing my posture's improved. And so I want to encourage everyone to get in touch with you and learn more about this and to support you in any way they can to get training facilities put together so you can spread this wonderful technique all over the place.
Well, thank you so much, Ken, for having me on your show as well.
Oh,
I enjoyed our time.
Good. You're welcome. And beloved listeners, I wish you a wonderful week. Tune in every week, Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for more Advanced Living Radio. And visit advancedliving.com for some beneficial things for your well-being. Until we meet again, God bless you, and goodbye for now.